Volume 1, The Symbolic Code Number 10, The Symbolic Code News Items. Volume 1, April 15, 1935. Number 10, Los Angeles, Calif. In the interest of the SDA denomination, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Doubtless all our brethren have been anxious to hear what has been accomplished by the Texas Strip. We are now ready to report. The responsibility which God has placed upon us at this time is so great that no human mind can fully comprehend it or take it too seriously. That is, God has given us the words of life to bear to His erring church, thus placing the light for the people in our hands. In other words, we stand, as it were, at the helm of the great ship aboard which are God's people, and if we wreck it, everyone will fall overboard. Hence, if we could realize how great would be that fall, we too would sweat great drops of blood. It may be that he who did calm the mad waters with the words, "Be still," will divide the sea, and thus, without the aid of the ship, lead unto shore those who are not responsible for its fall. But woe to us should we either by an unconcerned, half-hearted effort, or by a zeal which is not informed by divine power bring about such a fearful catastrophe. At this time we are to make the most important move, since the message found us. Therefore, we earnestly solicit the prayers of every believer present truth, so that there be nothing done which God cannot bless. The word of the Lord is sounding in our ears, saying, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about." Ezekiel 4:1-2. Hence, we must respond to the call, else we may steer the heavily loaded ship to its eternal ruin. To build the fort, to cast the mount, to set the camp, and the battering rams will require a fearless band of Gideonites, who will not bow down to their knees for a drink. Jud 7:2-7. God's ancient people, while building the tabernacle, the two temples, and in the days of the apostles, responded to their call very faithfully. But shall we now in the end of this world, while making history that will stand for eternity, draw back, or do less? God has bestowed upon us greater blessings than He has upon any other people at any time. Shall we therefore by our deeds fail to show to Him that we appreciate His great gift as much as they? Let every reader of the code answer this question to himself. In order to fulfill the call, we must build the fort, cast the amount, set the camp, and the battering rams against it round about. This shall be assigned to the house of Israel. Ezekiel 4:3. Hence, the first question to be asked is, where shall we build? The answer comes from Him who is taking the reins in His own hands, testimonies to ministers. 300. In that day shall Israel be, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Isaiah 19:24. As no one puts a light in a corner, but rather in the center of the room, so the wise husbandman built a tower in the midst of his vineyard. We are living in that prophetic time when men were to run to and fro, Daniel 12:4, and in which a short work will the Lord make. Romans 9:28. Consequently, the Lone Star State, being in the midst of the land for both Americas, North and South, is the place where we must set the camp, so that the light may be equally diffused east and west, north and south. Moreover, the camp from where the battering rams are to be sent, naturally must be centrally located, so that the distance between the rams and the camp may be cut down to one half, thus reducing the time and the cost for transportation and supplies as well as for mailing. We thank God for such a wise plan as this. Therefore, He has given us one of His beautiful lakeside hills adjacent to Waco, Texas, a city of about 60,000, yet far enough from it to be away from the world and its evil environment, about 5 miles from the center of the city and about 2.5 miles from the city limits. There lies 189 acres of land for our camp. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, Page 1. Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves! Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field, when they were scattered. Ezekiel 34:2-5. Since the apostles passed away, God's sheep have abundantly furnished their shepherds with wool and fat, but the shepherds from that day to this have done little or nothing for the sheep. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Ezekiel 34:7-10. Glory be to God, for he has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. 5th. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Israel. Isaiah 44:23. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for, lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. Zechariah 2:10-11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40:11. Awake, my brothers and my sisters, awake. Do you not see that you have become meat for the beast of the field? Do you receive help from the shepherds? Shall not the shepherds feed the sheep? Shall not they strengthen the diseased? Shall not they heal the sick? Shall not they bind up the broken? Shall not they bring again that which was driven away? Or will you strengthen their cruel hands, so that they may continue to kill the sheep and feed themselves? Cry aloud, spare not. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought as judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Zephaniah 2:3. Therefore, it is needful to send some of the brethren to Waco, Texas, to prepare the way for the removal of the headquarters by erecting a temporary building, etc., so that we may move perhaps in the next 2 months, after which we may plan to build other buildings, so that we shall be able successfully to proclaim the message to the church, furnish work for our people, and take care of the poor, the sick, the aged, as well as of the children among us. In view of this tremendous responsibility which God has laid upon us, shall we not unite in agonizing prayer, to the end that God may bless us, and give us wisdom from above, and make his people willing in this day? For saith the Lord, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalms 110:3. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah 1:19-20. Beloved brethren, in present truth, The many letters of encouragement received during the past several weeks, most of which indicated that you were praying earnestly that the Lord would guide His servants in wisdom and counsel, while seeking a central location for headquarters from which to operate the work of proclaiming the message to the church, have been greatly appreciated by all and especially by those who have been spying but the land, as it were. And we are happy indeed to bring to you a good report, and a few grapes from this trip, and, in the language of the faithful ones of old, we can't say we are well able to take the city. But we know this can be done only, as we do as those two warriors of old did, namely follow the Lord fully. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, Page 2. It has been evident for some time that it would soon be necessary to seek a more central location for the office in order to serve the whole field efficiently. So those at headquarters have been praying very earnestly over this matter for many months, and, as they kept on praying for light, the Lord finally indicated definitely that beautiful Southern California was no longer to remain the center of His work for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But an eastward course was to be seen in the stream from that fountain which is to swell into the great river of Ezekiel's prophecy, and plans were soon formulated whereby a thorough search could be made in the territory indicated by the Lord, where the future headquarters were to be found. In response to an invitation to become members of the party selected to look for the new location, three of us met in San Antonio, Texas, about the 1st of February. And for more than 2 months we have followed to the best of our ability every indication of our divine leader, searching the land thoroughly from San Antonio to Dallas and Fort Worth, which is within the territory indicated where the Lord would have us locate. One thing was clear in our minds concerning the new home for our work, and that was that we should have a rural base from which to operate, one with room enough to demonstrate that the Lord made no mistake when He told us through His messenger that we should be out of the city, and in an environment conducive to health, and one where we could care for the needy among us, and furnish employment to those who are learning how to give the message. While in Waco, our attention had been called to a property situated about 5 miles from the center of the city, and near an artificial lake, from which the city's supply of water is taken, so the more we considered this location, the more convinced we were that the Lord was directing us to this place, as evidenced by many infallible proofs, which we dare not question, for the whole setting of the scene was at first contrary to any human planning of our own. This property consists of 189 acres, one half of which is in a high state of cultivation, the other in timber, most of which is cedar of various sized trees, and some oak and elm, and a few other kinds of small trees which would furnish, besides fuel, quite a considerable amount of timber for constructing fences and building foundations. The land has a highway frontage of about a mile, one half of which is overlooking this beautiful lake which extends several miles in length, and in full view of the wooded section of the place from northeast to southwest. From the lakefront side there is a rapid incline to an elevation of about 300 feet, and then the surface of the land is comparatively level, and, except for 2 or 3 canyons dividing the woods into 2 hilltop sections, gradually slopes back to the east and south sides of the farmland, thus affording ample building sites for everything needed for the present at least. There is not the slightest thought in mind of large expensive buildings, for this has always been contrary to the instruction given us in such matters, and all the more so at this time, when we know there is but little time in which to finish the work. Therefore simplicity is to be the watchword for everything we do now when the Lord is about to surprise the workers by the simple means that He will use to bring about and perfect His work of righteousness. Testimonies to Ministers 300. While we do not have light farther than that we should make a beginning, yet we hope soon to have something very definite. But we are clear in extending an invitation to all our fellow believers in present truth to join us in earnest prayer to the end, that no mistake be made at this time. We will welcome any suggestion also concerning how we might quickly develop something that will be the nearest to what we have all longed to see established among us to represent every branch of our work, first to the Church, and incidentally to the world in preparation for that greatest of all demonstrations, when the great multitude shall sweep into the house of the Lord, through the gates that shall never be closed. Isaiah 60:11. Last but by no means the least item of interest in connection with this trip through Texas is that concerning the new believers in present truth. While the primary object of the trip was to seek a new location for headquarters, we felt that a twofold object could be observed, so we made use of all the time in which we were not otherwise engaged in studying with our dear people, many of whom were hungry for that which they know they are not receiving, and, as a result, we are pleased to announce that there are several little companies along the trail covered by this tour which are rejoicing in the advanced. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 3. Light of the Third Angel's Message, as set forth in the Srad, and already good reports are coming from them concerning the interest that is being aroused in their respective communities. How earnestly we should all pray that God will grant unto us the same passion for souls that characterized the man of Calvary and the soul languished possessed by him, who wept over the city of his love and care, that we may be able to say as did he, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," when our dear brethren treat us unkindly, for their burdens are many, and they are not acquainted with the blessed message of present truth, and are therefore to be pitied rather than censured. Signed, V.T. Howd, F.M. Editor, and E.T. Wilson. To those who love present truth, greetings. Zephaniah 2:3-2. Be hid in the day of the Lord's anger is our plea. This sealing message is more precious than ever before. There are 9 Adventists here, 7 are believers in present truth. Please pray for the other 2. That we can't do nothing against the truth but for the truth is impressively demonstrated by the following experience. A visiting minister came to deliver us from deception. He brought S.R. Colvin with him, who heard the reasons he gave against the Srad. The Lord sent brothers Howd, F. Dieter, and Wilson just in time. They were graciously accepted as the Lord's messengers, and, as a result, not only are we here confirmed in the message, but there are about 15 believers in the Waco Church, and more studying. Now we receive the following warning through the conference paper. There are men in our conference at present who claim to be Adventists. The new light which they claim to have has not been accepted by our organization. To accept their doctrines is means to sever fellowship with our organization. We believe when the Lord has new light for us, He will reveal it to the leaders of this organization, and not to those who criticize it. Though they may remove our names from the church record, we are glad that it will not be for disobeying the SDA message, and that they cannot remove them from the Lamb's Book of Life. May God help us to be faithful. May we cry aloud, and spare not. Signed, Mrs. R. F. McConathy, Temple, Texas. I realize how far from God we have been. I feel so weak and incompetent to give this message to the church, but I have given myself and my all to God, and am asking Him to give me wisdom and understanding, that He may work through me by His Spirit to the saving of souls. Signed, M.R.S., Molly Hartman, Montrose, Colorado. We surely do appreciate the code. Especially did we enjoy the last one. Our church here has changed the time for the service of the Lord's Supper, etc., from morning to evening in the hope of keeping the cast out ones from attending. This is the first time they have ever done this. However, we are going to make it convenient to be there anyway, as did the sisters in Wyoming. They have our sympathy, and we pray that they will, along with ourselves and all the rest, continue to go and endure all for our precious Savior who did so much more for us. Please pray for our little band here. We are continually remembering all of you, wishing God's richest blessing on you. Signed, Mrs. J.C. Campbell, Columbia, Escar. I am still holding meetings here. Also, we have organized a prayer band which meets on Thursday nights. The new ones that recently met with us told some of the other church members that they could feel the Lord's presence there. We have Sabbath PM studies also. I am glad to tell you that we have one more member in our company. The church voted him out last night, March 4th. He is determined to help rescue the brethren in Zion. We want you to pray that God will continue with us and that to bless and save more souls. Signed, Orrin Richardson, Muncie, Indiana. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, Page 4. An interesting experience from Columbia, Escar. From an interesting communication from Dr. John H. Young of Columbia, SC, greeting the 12 tribes scattered abroad, we herewith relate a recent experience which the little company, of which the doctor is leader, had during the time of Genesis Conf. Field Secretary visited the Columbia Church for the purpose of crying down the Sra's teachings. Although the pastor of the church promised the doctor that he and the visiting brother would meet the little company at 6 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the appointed week for the meeting, they were all surprised to learn by experience that the same plan of procedure that was followed in Charleston while the tirade against the Sra was staged there was being carried out in Columbia. The plan was that instead of meeting, as scheduled, with the believers in the present truth message and showing them what were the purported errors of the rod, all the time was taken up in denouncing the so-called heresy from the pulpit, not allowing anyone to ask a question which would involve the speaker in any way or show his pitiful ignorance of the Sra's message. Later it was learned that their tactics were to take one at a time so that the two elders together might be able to corner one poor sheep by himself. The doctor then tells of the disappointment of the little company standing in the light upon their learning that the elders were not to meet with them but, says the doctor, they were not cast down. Rather they were lifted up. We had a good season of prayer, and thanked God for all that he had done for us. I was reminded of the thought, "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you." Hos. 23:10. Our brother states further, "I begged and pleaded with this elder to come and meet with us, but no, he would not. He did not think it best to meet with the group, but he said he might come and talk with me personally, though he never did. He, however, in company with the pastor of the church, went to see one of our sisters, but could not mention a thing about the Sra'd. Do you think the Lord kept them from taking advantage in such a way? I believe that he did. They called another sister by telephone and asked about coming out, but she promptly told them that if they couldn't meet with the group, she did not care to meet with them at all. My prayer is that the God of all truth may bless his people and sanctify us in his truth through grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, let us pray for one another. One's timid now doing and daring. Recently the minister here got up and said, I am going to talk plain this morning. There are a Mr. Wilson, a Mr. Dieter, and a Mr. Houdef traveling in Texas. Do not give them any support financially or physically, for they are teaching this rod which, though it claims to be light, is anything but light. All eyes were immediately fixed upon me. Then, after the service, I met the minister at the door and asked him if I might speak with him for a moment, so he stepped aside with me, and I said, do you know that I would not be in your place this morning for $1,000,000? He said, why? I answered, because you condemn God's servants and God's message, about which you know nothing except what you read in a book that you got at the recent council in St. Louis. Then I bid him read Gospel Workers, the chapter headed Danger, and 5:81, and explain them to me. A sister to whom I lent a set of the Sra'd volumes said to me, I care not what they say, I am reading, and am going to continue to read. There are many who are reading, but are non-committal for fear of being put out of the synagogue. I thank God for the courage he has given me, for I have always been the shrinking kind. I praise him for the light of present truth. I have read volume 1 of the Sra'd through twice in the last week, and every time I read I get more light and how the codes help me, I always read them through two or three times, count the pages, and wish there were more. I pray for all the dear ones and long for the time when we shall enjoy a purified church. May God bless His work and workers. Signed, Mrs. A. Oswald, Tomball, Texas. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 5. Shades of the Past. Since the presentation of the message by Bro. Hoyt F. and Keen last week, 10 are rejoicing in present truth, and the result was that on Wednesday night the prayer meeting reminded us of similar meetings held in Methodist churches 10 years ago in trying to console the flock and make them satisfied with their own condition, after the SDAs had been in the community. Signed, Mrs. J. O. Conrad, Keen, Texas. We are glad to tell the Code family that S.R. Malenix, a mother in Israel, who was so seriously injured in an automobile accident early in January that her life was despaired of by physicians, is now recovered. She says, "I am back home since my accident and almost over all my injuries. I am thankful for the straw prayers and thankful to my loving Savior. I want to testify that present truth has been to me a present help in all times of trouble, and that it has made me a better SDA than I ever was before. I appreciate the code and look for its monthly visit. It bears a message from God, which I pray that our churches will receive before it is too late." Mary Malenix, Florence, Colorado. The message grows more beautiful. The further I study the Strad, the brighter becomes the light to my feet. Each day it shines forth more beautifully. I have long felt that my tithe should go to the storehouse of present truth to help send its light to our SDA brethren far and wide. So last month I decided to send it there, and I will continue to do so as long as I have any to send, for I believe with all my heart that this message is the purifying message, meet in due season from the great provisioner, and that we should do all we can to help carry it to other hungry souls. I want to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. Signed, Mrs. Lillian Davidson, Belfair, Wash. Another Berrien. I could hardly wait till the books and tracts arrived to get to reading them. I knew they were truth from all my previous Bible study and reading of the Spirit of Prophecy. As I read Volume 1 of the Strad, it came to me again and again, what fools and slow of heart we have been to believe all that the prophets have said. One is reminded of the disciples who did not see nor understand till after the resurrection what Jesus told them plainly. I am reading with my eyes wide open and comparing scripture with scripture as I pass from one point to another. Naturally, in all this reading I have made notes of many points upon which I may later send you some questions if I do not find the answer to them while reading farther along, as I have done in several instances. The reading so far has led me to look back over the experiences of my life and to see the truthfulness of all that the Strad says regarding the SDA denomination. I know by experience, as a boy and in the years since, how the doctrinalistic, Christless manner of teaching the precious doctrines of our faith put me in black despair and caused me to settle down in a hopeless state and remain that way for a long time. When I was in my teens I used to say, "Mother, I have studied over again all the prophecies and doctrines, and written over again all these Bible readings in a memorandum, and I cannot see in this whole system of truth where there is any provision made for the victorious life. Where is that power of God that keeps one from falling and from experiencing Romans the 7th chapter? Where is the victorious life?" And she would say, "Well, son, you keep the Sabbath, don't you?" "Yes." "And you pay tithes, and believe in the Spirit of Prophecy, and obey health reform, don't you?" "Yes." "Well, then, you are all right, you don't need to worry." But I failed to be convinced. When one falls down on besetments, repents, and is forgiven, and then does the same thing over and over again, there is no soul rest in that. That is not what God has promised in the New Covenant. Yet this is just where the difficulty and trouble. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 6. Lies with the Seventh-day Adventists' rest. It is a pity. The ministers are at fault, and yet the ministers themselves were never led into the true and living way by those who in turn brought them into the truth. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? Joel 2:17. I thank God for these new truths of the Sirach, and they must be made to urge God's people to see the perilous situation before them and the necessity earnestly of seeking the revival long overdue. Many agree to reformation, but the new order must be revival and reformation, for to clean up the outside alone of cup and platter does no good. Merely to correct the dress, hair, and outside deportment will profit not at all. Christ must be formed within the hope of glory, or the loss is eternal. We must be born again. Do we have the marks of the new birth? He that is born of God sinneth not. Do we have hope of eternal life? He that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. I pray God, that by His grace I may have part with His people in this work and message, which takes us back to the lively experiences of those days, when the spirit of prophecy was first given to our pioneers, and some were receiving, and some rejecting the gift which God has sent to enlighten His people. As for me, I want to be a co-laborer with those who are carrying on the cause of present truth. Signed, L.C. Forsyth, Wapakoneta, Ohio. Encouragement for all. Not that I have either been sequential, but because I have been enjoying the testimonies of others, is the reason for my silence during the past 3 months, but I do want to add my testimony to yours in the present issue of the code, for God has been good to me and signally blessed my feeble efforts in the little corner where I have been laboring. Joining Brethren Howd F. and Dieter in San Antonio, Texas about February 1st, and with them visiting some of the largest centers in the Lone Star State, during the past 2 months, the Lord has blessed our efforts by giving fruit in most every place where we have studied with the people, and we have left a company of 10 or a dozen in each of 2 places fully established, with several interested ones who are reading and studying the message. It is interesting to note that one of these companies was raised upright under the shadow of the Union Conf. office, and in the village where one of our older schools is located, and where many workers and teachers live, all of which goes to show that even the greatest men among us can't do nothing against the truth but for the truth, and all the tirades staged against the beautiful message of present truth contained in the Sirach only creates more interest in it. Replying to S.R.J.A. Dundonker's question in the Feb Code, concerning the progress of the work, I will say that I was present in Charleston, S.C.A.R. while Elder was there tirading against the Sirach, and I can't truthfully say that instead of his stamping out the Sirach doctrine there, his actions served to establish all those who had accepted it before, and created an interest in others to investigate the message for themselves, and one of the ladies, who heard him, invited me to her home, to give a study, and remarked at the close of the study, Oh, what they are missing at that little church! Never, in all my work as a minister in this cause, have I seen a more direct fulfillment of that striking statement in Volume 9 which tell us that the final movements will be rapid ones. As a concrete example of the above statement, we have recently witnessed a company of people in Waco, Texas become established in present truth after 10 studies, and another company in Keene, Texas become established after only 7 studies. So, dear fellow workers, we are actually seeing fulfilled the truth of that kindred statement in early writings, to the effect that in the last days, some will have to learn in a few months what others have spent years in acquiring. So let us pray earnestly that the Lord will quickly lead us to the very place He would have us labor while the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9 lingers. Signed, E.T. Wilson. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 7. Questions and Answers. Question: Is it now understood why the number of the beast should be 666? What does Sr. White mean when she says, in a word, to the little flock, page 19, that she saw the number was made up? Answer. The scroll has not yet turned far enough to reveal why the number of the beast should be 666, nor is the number yet made up, nor will we be able to understand fully until after the event has taken place. Question. Early writings, page 281 says, the plan of salvation had been accomplished, but few had chosen to accept it. This statement is used very extensively against the doctrine of the great multitude, as taught by the Srad. Please harmonize it with the latter's teaching. Answer. It is true that the words, few chosen, often appear in sacred writings. However, it is unbiblical to explain the word privately. We must let the scriptures explain themselves. The following example will serve to show how fatal it is to explain the scriptures by the human way of reasoning. Says Paul, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. If one should expound the above quotation, as some expound the words, few chosen, he would be compelled to do one of two things, namely, either humble himself, as a little child, and admit that he does not understand Paul's writings, or else, separate from divine wisdom, exercise his human judgment, and accuse Paul of being wrong in his statement. For the world did not end at the time Christ was sacrificed. Therefore, let us examine the words, few chosen, in the light of the Bible. While Jesus declares that many be called, but few chosen, Matthew 20:16, Isaiah, by the same Spirit says, thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, I the Lord will hasten it in his time. Isaiah 60:11-22. Zechariah, while prophetically speaking of our time, also says, many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Zechariah 2:11. Furthermore, the Lord says, it shall come to pass, that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, they shall call on my name. And I will hear them, I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13:8-9. Moreover, while the early writing says, but few have chosen to accept it, the same author in The Great Controversy, page 665, classifies the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. As a company separate from the martyrs and others, who are to be resurrected, making it impossible to conclude that the great multitude are the resurrected. Now the question is, if we conclude from the statement in early writings, page 281, and from Matthew 20:16, that only a few are to be saved, what shall we do with Isaiah 60:11-22, Zechariah 2:11-13-8-9, and the great controversy? Page 665. No candid Bible student could from the above statements arrive at any conclusion which would lead him to base his interpretation of the subject on one scripture and wholly ignore the other, but would rather seek to make his final analysis in such a way as to be in perfect harmony with all inspired writings, or else confess that he does not have the light on the scriptures. The only doctrine that, in the present connection, will stand the test and be in perfect agreement with all sacred writings is the one, that the few are those who were saved during the ages past, which period is figuratively classified in the parable of Christ as the time before the harvest. But in the closing of the world's history, in the ingathering time the harvest, there is to be saved a great multitude. It is only natural that there were comparatively but few saved in the ages past because of the fact that that period of time was not the harvest, and it is likewise just as natural that now in the end of the world, the time of the harvest marked. 13:30, there shall be a great ingathering of souls which no man can number. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. As the idea of a great multitude is opposed only to the devil's plan, let us not therefore work to his interest. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 8. Question. In regard to the destruction of the beast at the close of probation, I would like to know if this is a literal destruction, and if so, who is destroyed, or if it is not literal, then what is it? Answer. The destruction of the Daniel 7 beast, though it is a literal destruction, is not specifically of persons, but rather of principles, as is evidenced by the fact that the other three beasts of Daniel 7, which are recapitulated in the two composite beasts of Revelation 13 and 17, progressive symbols of our present world, continue to the end, whereas the woman, the principle of false religion astride the beast of Revelation 17, is destroyed at the close of human probation. And reveals the same thing that the Daniel 7 beast symbol prophesies, namely, the dissolution of the principle of false religion, as expressed through the institution of religio-politicoism. However, through this dissolution is to be the direct result of the breakup, it seems inevitable that those human lives inextricably woven into and involved in the structure of the institution itself must perish when it falls, for revolutions of the kind here symbolized always bathe the earth with blood. In this particular case, it will doubtless be led of those hierarchic retainers, priests, ministers, et al. Of the woman, who have deceived the nations. A close perusal of Srad, Volume 2, pages 154, 155, 160, 161 will be repaid with a clearer grasp of the whole subject. Question 5-212, bottom of page, seems to teach that the destroying weapons are the seven last plagues. The Srad teaches that Ezekiel 9 is the purification of the church. Please explain the apparent contradiction. Answer. Relative to 5-212, let us first observe a parallel, in certain respects, from pre-Noahic times. Jude proves that Enoch was a messenger of God, and yet that he warned his generation of the destruction of the world by the second advent of Christ, when, in fact, the flood was the event which was the, and subsequently did destroy the world of Enoch's time. Enoch simply was not shown the truth of the flood. Therefore, he preached the destruction then in terms of the coming of the Lord. So it was with S.R. White. As no one had light on the destruction of Ezekiel 9, she made the comparison with it to the seven last plagues with which they were more conversant. Nevertheless, later on in 3-266, 267, 5-210, 212, TM 431, etc., she applied Ezekiel 9 to a time before the seven last plagues. Thus, Ezekiel 9 is applicable at two different times. First, at the time of the separating of the first fruits, the 144,000, and second, at the time of the separation of the second fruits, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9. Question 5-216, speaking to the brethren, says that some are preparing for the mark of the beast, but according to the Srad, all unfaithful SDAs will be destroyed before the mark of the beast. Please explain. Answer. If the questioner will restudy 5-216, she will see that it is not the brethren who are preparing for the mark of the beast, but rather those who are uniting with the world, not with the church. Question. I am unable to reconcile the teaching that Ezekiel 9 removes the unconverted, the five foolish virgins from the church at the beginning of the loud cry, with the parable of the 10 virgins, which preserves the wise and the foolish together until the Lord's coming. Answer. The parable of the 10 virgins cannot preserve the virgins until the Lord's coming, but rather up to some time before the final close of probation. 4. Note more carefully what the scripture saith, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Matthew 25:10. The words to the marriage denote that the call was made and the door was shut before the marriage took place. And as Christ is married or crowned at the close of human probation, see the Great Controversy, 426, 427, and before the seven last plagues are poured out, it proves that the call, "Behold the bridegroom cometh," is not the coming of Christ in the clouds when he receives his people unto himself, John 14:3. But rather his coming to the sanctuary for the judgment of the living. As the five wise virgins are the 144,000, Revelation 14:4, we see that the cry for them to awake is the same as Isaiah 52:1, which makes the time of the cry the same as the sealing time of the 144,000, 3T 266, and their meeting the bridegroom the same as Ezekiel 9. Then after the close of probation, and after the pouring of the plagues, he will come and take his own, not to witness the marriage, but to eat the marriage supper. After the ceremony is performed. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 9. The Rejoicing Voice from Afar. I am anxiously waiting for the next issue of the code. It is surprising how it clears questions of seeming difficulties, thus showing wisdom from above. Yours rejoicing in the message, signed Clarence Opitz, Hamburg, Germany. A choice diet. The Lord desires those living in countries where fresh fruit can be obtained during a large part of the year to awake to the blessing they have in this fruit. The more we depend upon the fresh fruit just as it is plucked from the tree, the greater will be the blessing. 7T 126. It would do well for us to do less cooking and to eat more fruit in its natural state. Let us teach the people to eat freely of the fresh grapes, apples, peaches, pears, berries, and all other kinds of fruit that can be obtained. Let these be prepared for winter use by canning, using glass, as far as possible, instead of tin. 7T 134. Nature's abundant supply of fruits, nuts, and grains is ample, and year by year the products of all lands are more generally distributed to all by the increased facilities for transportation. As a result, many articles of food which a few years ago were regarded as expensive luxuries are now within the reach of all as foods for everyday use. This is especially the case with dried and canned fruit. MH 297. Wherever dried fruits, such as raisins, prunes, apples, pears, peaches, and apricots are obtainable at moderate prices, it will be found that they can be used as staple articles of diet much freely than is customary, with the best results to the health and vigor of all classes of workers. MH 299. Grains and fruits prepared free from grease, and in as natural a condition as possible, should be the food for the tables of all who claim to be preparing for translation to heaven. 2T 352. The above statement includes nuts, which are the fruit of the tree, and for health and nutrition should be eaten daily in some form, and masticated thoroughly, either as they come from the shell, or as nut creams, or butters. They are better uncooked or unroasted. Health sandwich suggestions. Entire wheat or whole rye bread, spread with avocado paste. So far as we know, avocados can be combined with vegetables, and add chopped watercress which has been mixed with a little salt and lemon. Whole wheat bread, spread with soaked or dry prunes cut up fine and mixed with pecans and honey. Whole wheat bread, spread with ground dates or raisins blended with some good nut butter which has been thinned to mix well. Legumes, such as beans or lentils or dried peas, make a wholesome and palatable sandwich when mashed with a fork and with lemon juice added. Whole wheat bread, spread with mashed banana and ground dates. Rye or whole wheat bread, spread with ground figs and walnuts to which honey and a drop or two of lemon juice have been added. Whole wheat or whole rye bread, spread with avocado paste or nut butter and lettuce. Important notices. We would caution all readers to the code to exercise the greatest care not to deposit any literature in individual mailboxes, for it is an infraction of the United States postal laws. Our sisters are anxious to do charitable work among our own people, and therefore we request that both those who are in need of clothing, etc., and those who are in a position to contribute such help, make known the fact to this office, addressing their communications in care of MRS. J. E. Wilson. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 10, page 10.